words that we are going to read, that we are going to say. See, we take time out to read the book of Proverbs because it's also likened to the book of knowledge, the book of life, how to live life and all of that. And so this morning, we want to go a bit deeper into living a worthy life, living a sober life, living the right kind of life that will ensure that you arrive at a good future. Hallelujah. The future you are dreaming of, you have a role to play in arriving at that good future. And so, let's bow down our heads as we pray this morning. Let's bow down our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity like this to listen to your word, to read your word, to meditate on your word. We open ourselves up unto you, O Lord. Teach us by yourself. Heavenly Father, we ask that by your Spirit, you will guide our thoughts. By your Spirit, you will speak to our inner man. You will strengthen us with your words. And as you do this, Lord, we will be the better for it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' worthy name we have prayed. A big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, as I said, we want to go deeper into living the right kind of life. The right kind of life. And when we do this, as I said, we are going to secure, we are going to guarantee a better future. If you see people arriving at a good future, having things sorted out with their lives, it just didn't happen. It is made. It is worked for. And so this morning, when we look at God's word, please put these words as much as possible, as much as possible, especially at this time of your life. Please make sure you write things down. And when writing down, it's not just the Bible passages. Yes, you will write down the Bible passages, but you will also write down the words that will follow, the interpretations that will be given, so that later on, you will go back and check. That is the way to living. That's the way to a good life. That's the way to having a good Christian life. It is not just, I come, I go. How many of these words will you be able to retain in your head? How many of these words will you be able to remember all the time? But when you write them down, they give you opportunity to go back to those words. You read them at your private moments. You can go back and even check on them. And this will guide you. Hallelujah. You see, in the second service, the earlier service before yours, Reverend Mrs. asked a question that, you know, last Sunday we had joint service and Reverend Gbadi Ogunlana came. Can you recollect? And she asked, how many of us went back between last Sunday and now and today to go and read the notes that you jotted or to go and hear the tapes that were recorded? Of course, less than 30%. And this is usual. We just believe it's normal to come to church, listen to God's word, sing, be excited, and then we'll go. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. For us, for whoever wants to prosper with God's word, you must write them down and over, go and check them and check them. That is when it stays in your heart. That is when you retain them in your heart. Book of Titus, chapter 2. Give us from verse 2. First, give us, NKJV. Titus chapter 2 from verse 2. Okay. Well, let's start from verse 1 so that we can get the import of it. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. When we come here, you see, in churches, probably you've been there before, you will see some churches, they will say, these are our doctrines, doctrinal values, what we believe in. But people can put their interpretations in what the scripture says. But the Bible is saying that there are some things that are proper for sound doctrine. In other words, no matter what happens around you, there are doctrines that are fixed and are proper. And those are the things that we should work towards. Verse 2. So what are those things that are proper for sound doctrine? That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Let's keep on reading. We'll read up to verse 6 or so. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Verse 6. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. And I want to extract this a bit, expand it a bit, to say, we're talking this morning to young men and young ladies. You are here, and the scripture is telling us that for sound doctrine, what you need primarily is to be sober-minded. And what does it mean to be sober-minded? One translation, give us this verse in NIV. To be sober-minded. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Because when you say that sober, it will mean, do I look sorrowful? To be sober means I just look morose and then all of that. No. It means to be self-controlled. And honestly, the book of Proverbs that we have been reading, it's all about rightful living. It's all about self-controlled living. And as we go through them, please listen to these words and let them enter your life. This morning, we will expand this verse a bit. In other words, how do we live lives that will be sober, that will be self-controlled? That's what the scripture is asking us to do. It is such a life that can, number one, please God. Only a self-controlled life will please God. Only a self-controlled life will achieve the success that you are after in life. I know for many of you who are observant, you will have seen elderly people, those who are older, both men and women, who are having their lives somehow disjointed, who are having so much problems that you wonder, has God failed them? What did they do to offend God? Or why are things like this happening to them? It's because whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap. But for us here, we are being enjoined, we are being encouraged to be self-controlled, to put self-control and soberness in our lives, so that in this journey of life that we are in every area of our lives, we will be temperate, we will be self-controlled, and we will arrive at a good future. We will live lives that will be pleasant and pleasing to not only God, but also to us. Now, let's expand it a bit. When we say to be sober and to be self-controlled, we're saying that you must have one attribute, that is, you must be reasonable. You must be reasonable. You must have the ability to yield to the voice of reason. We're saying this because, hey, somebody said the best victory is victory over self. By nature, by your flesh, the flesh wants to do anything. The flesh wants to have his way. And when you allow it to have his way, honestly, you will live a life that is out of control. You will live a life that will not be self-controlled. And so, in life, voices will come to you. People will tell you things. Just as the scripture is telling you things, people will also tell you things. You will see circumstances. The hallmark of a person living a self-controlled life is that you will yield to the voice of reason. When you were born, you were growing up in a home. A good home is that one in which a child is raised to have one attribute, the attribute of listening to the voice of reason, the attribute of knowing good from evil, knowing what to do and following up on that what to do. We're saying this because we have seen men and women, those who are in their 20s, in their 30s, that become uncontrollable. They don't reason. They don't listen to the voice of reason. They don't. They do not. And at the end of the day, their lives scatter. They don't achieve what God desires for them. Yesterday, yes, it was yesterday night. There is a lady, I think I've met her a couple of times. She's somehow close to my wife. And my wife told me yesterday night, said, do you know this lady? She mentioned her name. I said, well, probably. She said, she normally goes with me on this, on that program. I said, okay, maybe. I think I will know her. What happened? She said, she has relocated out of town, out of Abeokuta with her children. I think maybe two kids. And I said, what happened? Said, this lady married somebody who is a pastor. A pastor, not just a pastor in the church, somebody who started his own ministry and had his own church. He has his own church. But why? Said, the pastor used to abuse her a lot. Beat her, not take care of her. Even her parents would be abusive to them. The father of this lady died. He never even picked the phone to say sorry to any member of her family. He did not attend the burial ceremony. The other pastors came trying to admonish him. He did not listen. Until he got to a headway, the lady had to say, instead of me dying here, I better leave. And my wife carved it up and said, she was wondering, what will this pastor tell the church? How will he explain to the church that my wife is somewhere? If they ask, where is Mommy Gio? What will he say? But what happened is because right from the beginning, he never allowed himself to be self-controlled, to listen to the voice of reason. I know that almost every one of us here, almost everyone, at least up to 90%, probably do, you may have some who are still in secondary school, but majority of you are in higher institutions, is that not so? Or you have passed through higher institution. There is one hallmark that education is supposed to do to you. It's supposed to make you temperate, to temper you down, so that your flesh that wants to rise up, your mind that wants to misbehave, is supposed to calm it down. And that's why we say in any higher institution, college of education, polytechnic, university, there is one ideal that they strive for. And what is that? The superior argument must prevail. You must listen to superior argument. That's what the scripture is also saying. That you must be temperate. When you are temperate, you temper your nature down. You don't say, that's how I am made of, that's who I am, and anybody just love me the way I am. No. The scripture, the Bible has the specifications for who we should be. And that's what we're looking at this morning. When you see some ladies too, they're just out of way. You talk anyhow. That is away from what the scripture is recommending. So you must be ready to listen to the voice of reason. Apostle Paul said, I pummel my body. Not that it takes physical and bagga. No. To pummel your body, says, I subject it to what? To voice of reason. So I'm challenging you this morning. Whether to your parents, to your senior siblings, to anyone around you, please, brothers and sisters, subject yourself to voice of reason. Be reasonable at all times. In other words, what is the reasonable thing to do here? What is the right thing to do here? No matter what it takes, please go ahead and do it. If we don't treat our bodies like that, if we don't develop all this, I'm telling you, disaster lies ahead. It's not going to be a life that is pleasing to God. Don't be temperamental. A life that is self-controlled is not temperamental. The scripture says, a man that cannot control himself is like a city without walls. It is open to abuse. It is open to attack. When you are not the kind of person who can calm down and reason things, who is not temperamental, who has been able to handle anger, I'm telling you, a great future awaits you. Either you graduate from school, you are employed, or you start your own business, you are earning money, it is expected of you that you know how to just put yourself together, control yourself. How to, that's what the scripture, that NKJV was saying, to be sober. Sober means you are calm. Hallelujah. So please, let's take that today. As we go through the book of Proverbs, please take all those nuggets. You will see them. We have seen some of them this morning when we read Proverbs 24. We have seen some of those things. Excuse me. And your responsibility is to ensure that you do that. Be willing to yield to superior arguments, opinions that are greater than your own. In other words, don't be too fixated on your own opinion. Give us James chapter 3, verse 17. The book of James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You have seen it. The scripture, Bible says in the book of Proverbs, in all your learning, get wisdom. In all understanding, get understanding. They will tell you something. Wisdom is profitable to direct. You see, we say all of these things, but we want you to leave your mouth saying it. Yes, wisdom is profitable to direct. I know it's not about knowing the scripture. Somebody says something. There are some Christians, I hope you know, their mouths are full of the scriptures, but their hearts are full of hate. Can you marry the two? The mouth is full of scripture, but the heart is full of hate. That should not be our own situation. That should not be said of us. So, the wisdom that we're asking that you tailor your life after is a wisdom that is, first of all, pure. Pure there means undiluted. And talking about dilution, a lot of things we want to dilute it. Do you know that lack may want to dilute it? Lack of something. You are afraid that, hey, I lack this. I may not be able to get this. And therefore, you want to get it your own way. Then peace-loving. Like you said, somebody who is self-controlled is peace-loving. Whatever will make for peace. In the book of Romans chapter 1, I think towards the end, it says that, what be at peace with all men. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. It depends on you. And you can do something about it. These are the kinds of things that will please God, that will make him to be happy with your life. And considerate, submissive. Those two words, please, let's put them together. Considerate means you consider something that is presented before you. If you are not considerate, that means you don't want to listen to any other opinion. But hey, somebody who is extremely strong on his own point, somebody who is stubborn in his own will arrive at a very miserable future. I want to plead with you right now, young man, young lady, be considerate. And when you consider, and there is a need for you to be submissive, please go ahead. You know, we normally say it, I hope I can say it, Ephesians chapter 5. We normally say that wives, what do wives do? Submit. And so, if you are a man here, and your own is no, it is the lady that must submit. Me, I'm not supposed to. That is a submission for every child of God. Submission, one, Apostle Paul said it, you submit to constituted authorities. It's for everybody. It's in the home that a wife must submit. However, even that one, please go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. We may come back here. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks to God. Okay, no. Verse 24. Verse 24. Or, before, don't go to verse 24. Go back to verse 21. Verse 21 to just summarize it. Whether you are a wife, whether you are a husband, what does the scripture say? submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does the word reverence mean? It's from the word reverend. Abi? But what it means is that when you say you revere somebody, you respect that person. You defer to that person. Out of your deferring to Christ, submit to one another, whether in the home or wherever. And that is where we're coming from. Give us back that place. James 3:17. It has spread it out. It has, told us all the components that we need. And you see, whether in the place of work, at home, in the neighborhood, let your life be such that all these things can be said of it. Full of mercy. Judgment is without mercy to him who has not shown mercy. And good fruit. You are bearing fruit. You are doing good. Impartial and sincere. You can see that a lot of things have been put here. And what we're saying is your life must be modeled out of all these characteristics. And that's what the Bible is asking us to teach you. Remember again, give us Titus chapter 2 verse 6. Titus chapter 2 verse 6. Similarly, encourage the young men and women now to be self-controlled. We are encouraging you to be all this. Now, in being all this, what will help you? One thing that will help you is that it's not natural. It won't come normal. Your mind, especially for those of you who have gone, all of you who have gone to school anyway, your mind will want to say, yes, I know this. Mokawi now, and all of that. But hey, put that aside. If you really want to live this kind of life that will please God and that will guarantee a good future for you, you must do one thing. Prioritize the word of God. Give way to the scriptures in your life. Value scriptures more than culture. Please, you may need to write it down. Value scriptures more than culture. More than what goes on around. Let scripture reign supreme. Let it be the ultimate decider. I say this because, hey, we are in the knowledge era. We are in the knowledge era. And knowledge does one thing. Knowledge puffs up. Have you seen it in the Bible before? Have you heard of it? The scripture understands that and acknowledges that knowledge puffs up. That you feel that you know that you know. I feel meaning. Yeah, nobody knows. I know is this, I know is that. Please, if you want to live a sober life, a self-controlled life, you want to live a life that will not be stubborn with your own ideas, I beg you, value the scripture. Your main value should be in the word of God. You should look at, you see, it's easy to come here, sit down, hear the scripture, hear the word of God, and then go out. But by the time you go out, what determines your final outcome? When you are in the midst of your friends and you are being told, this is the way to go. Whoever does that can never make it. This is the way, this is the thing. What said the word of God? Is that what will come from your mouth? Please, I'm begging you. The main thing is that you must value the word of God. And whatever it says, please do. Value it above everything else. There will be cultures. There are cultures around us. There are different fads. There are different things. You have had this, you have that. Especially in the time of social media. In the time of social media. Oh, those pastors, they are this and that. Those people, they are just deceiving. Hey, education is a scam. You've heard of it before? Yes, education is a scam. Some will stretch it further. Religion is a scam. And all of that. Anybody who succumbs to that is playing with his future. Look around you. Consider very well. You will see those who espouse such things, those who followed such things, how did they end up? Miserable lives for many of them. In their, even from 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. God does not want your life to be like that. He says, I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you an expected end and a hope. To give you a good future. Hallelujah. So these are the things that we must prioritize. You must value the word of God. Take God's word seriously and apply it to your situations and circumstances. Hey, challenges of life will come. But instead of running helter-skelter, don't let what you watch in the movies, please don't let them guide you. What do I mean? You know that normally, usually, the movies that you watch, either AM Yoruba or AM whatever now, Africa Magic, Orishirishi, you know, when somebody has any issue, what does he or she do? Ah, Oremi. Is that not the first thing they do? Ah, Oremi, my friend, can he come? And they take the words and they don't let that be your first point of call. No. Your first and final point of call, especially your final point of call, is this scripture. What will God say? You will hear it. Approach those who know this thing. And when they interpret it to you that, hey, relax, don't worry, be patient. Don't worry, let's agree on this. Don't worry, let us pray. Please listen to that. Don't let peer influence guide you. Peer influence is dangerous, especially if it doesn't tally with God's word. So I beg you, be very, very focused on the word of God. That is the ultimate. That is the way to control your life. Men will come with ideas to control your life. We live in a fallen world. Jesus himself, in the book of John chapter 16, if you read that verse, towards at the last verse, says, look, in this world, you will have tribulations. Challenges will come. You may be faced with unemployment. You may be faced with underemployment. Don't give up. It is at that point that you go to God and say, what will you tell me? What will you have me do? And when he shows you, please stick to it. That's why you are coming here. You are not just coming here to waste your time. But the point is, by the time you do what this word of God is saying, I'm telling you, you will be way ahead. Just give God time. You and God, you're on a journey. Give him time. He will take you to where he wants to take you. Hallelujah. So please, that is very, very essential. And the other thing that I would like to say is that if you want to live a self-controlled life, a sober life, we have said you should prioritize God's word. The other simple thing that I want to lay before you this morning that can help you to arrive at a glorious future, please and please, don't prioritize pleasure. Don't prioritize pleasure. It is a very, very dangerous thing. Don't prioritize pleasure. Give us the book of Isaiah chapter 1 from verse 10. You can give us the message version. Message version of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Hallelujah. As we are getting this, please let it enter into your heart and pattern your life like this. When you do, honestly, you will be happy with what you will turn out to be. Now, let's read a few of these verses. Listen to my message, you Sodom school leaders. Receive God's revelation, you Gomorrah school people. Quickly, let's keep on reading. Verse 11. Why this frenzy of sacrifices? God is asking. Don't you think I've had my fill of burnt sacrifices, rams and plump grain-fed calves? Don't you think I've had my fill of blood from bulls, lambs, and goats? When you come before me, whoever gave you the idea of acting like this, running here and there, doing this and that, all this sheer commotion in the place provided for worship. Let's pause there. Let's pause. There are places of worship. You have come, and that's why we are a bit different here. The idea is not to do this and that and to do some sheer commotion in the place provided for worship. You know that commotion? Now, we are looking at God's word. It's not a place where one of you will just stand up, hit me, pastor, preach it, pastor, and then you come bring money, bagger. Those are not the things that matter. Instead of dropping money or shouting or, hey, yes, who? It should be this one that should be dealing with your heart, your inner man. That's what matters. And you can see it in the scripture. The modern translation of it, it says this, sheer commotion in the place provided for worship. Some people, this is past 12 now, they are still in church. They came to church probably around 8 a.m. And what will you see? Ijo repete. We're not saying you should not praise God and dance to God. But if it is all about that, God is not interested in that. He's interested in showcasing your life. We're not interested in that. We're interested in showcasing your life and that your life will be a blessing so that we'll hear good news continuously about your life. Verse 13. Quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games. Monthly conferences, weekly sabbaths, special meetings. Hallelujah. And meetings. I can't stand one more. We are dealing with a God who sees. We're dealing with a God who knows, who sees, who watches. And he's saying, all I'm after is that you will be, you will develop yourself. For many of us, those who have been coming here for long, there is something that we've said it before and over again. Life is like a triangle. When you have a triangle, the base, you know the tip. The tip is what you have. Wow, that guy has something. He has this. He has become successful. He has this degree. He has these material things. Those are the things you see on top. But below it, the line underneath, this edge stands for be who you are. Your being, who you are on the inside. The other edge is what you do. When you are good in terms of being a good person, when you do things that are good, all of them will culminate and rise up to the tip of the triangle. And what do you have there? What you have. And people will see what you have. Usually you judge with what people are. Uncle Yelowo, Uncle Yen successful. That guy, he has hit it. He has hit it. Is this, is that. You are just saying they have. Underneath is the being and the doing. And your responsibility is to work on your being. Hallelujah. You can see it. Triangle of excellence. Your being, your doing will lead to what you have on top. That is how life works. So at this level, please keep working on your being. This one that you are saying, you are self-controlled. And when you are self-controlled, hey, you know that marriage is something difficult now. I just told you about an example of somebody. The lady said, I have tolerated and tolerated and tolerated. And this man will not yield. It can't continue like this. What will happen to their children? There are a lot of people now who are no longer, and yet they call themselves Christians. They come to churches. They go to different churches. They raise up holy hands, but they are not ready to be self-controlled. Ladies that will talk anyhow. Men that will behave anyhow. That does not please God. That's why God is telling us, I'm not interested in all this, your charade. We are not interested in charade either here. But we're interested in one thing. Making mature followers of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go back to that Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, we're in verse 13. Quit your worship charades. I can't stand anyone. Verse 14. Meetings for this, meetings for that. I hate them. You've worn me out. I'm sick of your religion, while you go right on sinning. The next verse. When you put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way. No matter how long or loud or often you pray, I'll not be listening. And do you know why? Because you've been tearing people to pieces and your hands are bloody. So I'm telling you once again, please, prioritize the word of God. Don't let pleasure guide you at this level. Life is more than that. Life is more than you just pleasure. He who prioritizes pleasure at a young age will end up being poor. The scripture says so. It's in the book of Proverbs. We must have read it in one of those readings. And then, as I round up, there is one more thing I want you to also cultivate. If you want your life to be self-controlled, to be sober, to be put together for success, you must have the vitality of life. Hallelujah. Have the vitality of life. As you go, don't be dull with life. Hello? God has given you life. At this age, at this level, at this stage of your life, please let vitality burst out from you. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. Whatever you do, do it with excellence. Don't let this idea of just token, little, don't let it permeate your life. Deliberately put that into your life. A life that is based on tokenism, a life that is based on mediocrity, cannot go far. And so, what is vitality? It's a case of whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me see if I can quickly get it. But what we're looking at is that whenever, okay, very good. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Finally, give us Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes, let it be part of you right from now. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there's neither walking, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. And so I beg you, right from this level, don't allow laziness, mediocrity, sluggishness, slothfulness. That's what the Bible calls it. Slothfulness. Don't allow it to reign in your life. Because, hey, you need people to be able to move far in life. And people will recommend you. People will appreciate you when they see this vitality in you. And what is more, that vitality will help you to accomplish things in life. But you know what? It starts from now to develop it into your inner man. You have an inner man. And that's why we're saying that your inner man should run your outer life. Vitality is essential. Going from strength to strength. Giving your all to whatever you've been asked to do. For many people, do you know that it affects them even in the academic work? And just slothfully go in. Please. If you are born with it, you can change it too. Because somebody may say, be more to it, be meaning, yeah. But you can change it. Hallelujah. Pummel your body. Wake it up. Tell your brain, whatever I must do it very well. I must do it with all my might. That might is talking about physical might, intellectual might, emotional might, spiritual might. You have all of those. Look at the example of this guy, Gideon. God told Gideon, hey, he sent angels to him. Hey, mighty man of valor. He was saying, Tanom Bawi, where am I? I don't want wahala. I can't kill mosquito. Let me just be. But God knew that he could do it. And the same thing with you and I, brothers and sisters. You have vitality inside of you. Wake it up. Wake it up. And at the end of the day, when he complained, and the angel said, look, God has sent something. Sent you, he always wants to send you on an errand. He said one thing to him finally. Go in this might of yours. Go in this might of yours. Whether you are a lady or you are a man, go in this might of yours. First of all, conquer whatever it is you need to conquer at this level, at this stage of your life. The scripture says that it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. The time will come, those strength will wane. It will wane, it will go down, physically speaking. Yes, but one thing is this, now that you have it, deploy the strength. Use it for something worthwhile, something productive, so that in the later years, you will meet the fruit of it later. You'll be reaping the fruit of it. Don't waste your youth. Hallelujah. Rather, let your vitality, let it ooze out. Let it come out. Let it accomplish things. Even if when you are in school, please let it come out. Get the best grades. Work on it, no matter what. And you will see one thing. They are building blocks that God will use for the foundation of the future. Hey, the future you want, I want to plead with you. depends on what you are doing now. Have you heard this word before? The future is now. Have you heard it before? It's right. The future is now. Whatever you do now will determine what happens in that future. And as I round up, one thing is sure. Please, live soberly. Live self-controlled lives. So that when we hear about you, when we see you in the next 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, please don't get me wrong. We're not saying that in that time we will have had that, oh, he's now a billionaire. No, 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 no. It's not that. It's not about that. It's about being the total person. It's about being a child of God who is actively pleasing God. That's what we're saying. And when you do that, definitely you will not lack. You will not lack. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 says that, and God is able to make all grace towards you, so that you, in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Hallelujah. That's a successful life as far as God is concerned. And a life that has plenty of money but is not accomplishing for God, God is not interested in it. And when God makes this grace abounding to you, when he brings it in abundance to you, the last thing we talked about comes to play. What is that? Vitality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Let's round up with that. And you face the future with that. As you step out tomorrow, as you step out this week, next month, next year, please let these things ring in your mind. That your life story will be this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No! I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. This was written by a man who wrote 2/3 of the letters of the New Testament. A man who faced persecution. A man who went through all sorts. But at the end of the day, he was able to say, I have run the race. I have fulfilled my destiny. And a crown awaits me. He wasn't a man who was just slothful. No. And he's encouraging us this morning that grace that is with you, because you belong to Christ, you have a grace. Deploy that grace to do what? Work harder than all of them. Work hard and work smart. Deploy all that God has given you. Your might, your physical strength, your mental capacity, your intellect that God has given you, the emotions that God has given you, combine all of them. And when you do, you will arrive at a successful end. Let me also say this. You have heard of different things being said by different people. If you were here last Sunday, the title of the message was Faith for a Time Like This. We are living in perilous, uncertain times. We are living in challenging times. We are living in the times when you have some money in your pocket, before long, boom, it's gone. Because of the hyperinflation and all that, a lot of things are happening. But the scripture is challenging us. You keep your head in all situations. I can't open it again. In the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, I think verse 10 or verse 12, Apostle Paul told Timothy, hey, young man, keep your head in all situations. I'm challenging you with it this morning. Keep your head in all situations. Don't lose your head. There's no need for that. You have a God who is with you. Yes, challenges will come, but hey, rise up. Use that grace to rise up and to do what you need to do. And when you do, we will all be happy with your life. Hallelujah. We'll be happy with our lives. We'll be happy with the lives that we're living, that God himself will be happy with us. Let's bow down our heads this morning as we pray. Primarily, concerning the grace that is with us. Lord, help me to use my grace very well. Let your grace to me not be without effect. Let your grace to me Be with effect. Help me to use the grace to accomplish both for you, for your kingdom, and for humanity, and for myself and my family. Heavenly Father, each and every one of us here, by your grace, we are who we are. But by your grace, we want to become better. Help us, O Lord, multiply your grace unto us, and Spirit of the living God, challenge us to use this grace to move ahead. Let us use this grace to move forward in life so that we will live lives that will be pleasing to you. We have heard your words this morning. Let these words be part of us. Let these words enter our heart so that we will live sober, self-controlled lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless your holy name, O Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name we have prayed. A bigger amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's appreciate God for that word again. Amen. That's as basic as whatever you want to call it. And that's what would